In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was the spiritual care counselor on the drug alcohol treatment unit, I had to do spiritual assessments. And one of the questions I would ask people is I would say, do you have any religious background that may either help or hinder your spiritual growth? And people wondered why I asked the question that way. And it was because there's a lot of bad religion floating around out there. And I discovered that oftentimes I would have to kind of help tear down a structure that they had in their mind of judgmental, harsh, or arrogant kind of religion in order to build something new. It was kind of like when my parents built a new house on the farm. There was an old cottage there. We had to tear that down first because it was going to be on the same spot. And then you could build something new. So I used to pray that I would get people that came into treatment that had no religious background whatsoever. It was a lot easier than trying to tear down the bad stuff that they had and then build up something new. In our gospel lesson for today, the story of Nicodemus, that is pretty much what Jesus is trying to help Nicodemus do. Nicodemus has a very, very heavy construct of religion. He is a Pharisee, he is a teacher of the law, and he is a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body of Judaism. So this is a guy that's got religion through and through. Nicodemus is a guy that pretty much believes that he has it nailed down. Nicodemus has his religion in a box. It's very comfortable for him. He knows what it is. He knows how God must behave and how God cannot behave. He knows who God can love and who he cannot love. He has all of that nailed down in the box. And yet, there was something about this radical young rabbi from Nazareth, Jesus, that scratched him. There was something that bothered him. There was something that Jesus had, radical from the stem radix, meaning root, that Jesus got down to the root of how things really are in our relationships with God and with other people. There was something about Jesus that his fear slash attraction for Jesus started to kick in. And he wanted to find out a little bit more. So he came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. Now, he wasn't going to come in broad daylight because the other members of the Sanhedrin might have seen him, and that would have been it for him because they were already putting the finishing touches on the plan to kill Jesus in the Sanhedrin. So if they'd have seen him talking to Jesus, conferring with Jesus, he'd have been out. And then what would he have had? So he comes to Jesus, does old Nick, under cover of darkness. He is, in my mind, the picture of sanctity. He's probably an elderly cleric, a long white beard, a long flowing robe, the picture of wisdom and sanctity. And he comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness, does old Nick at night, as it were. That's probably where that started. And so he talks to him and he says, butters him up first. He says, good teacher, we know that you must come from God because nobody can do the signs that you do apart from God. And Jesus must have felt like the cornflakes just after the sugar was sprinkled on, but he doesn't fall for it. He just says something completely different. He goes, nobody can see the kingdom of heaven without being born from above. Another translation is born again. And Nicodemus, of course, takes that very concretely, very literalistically, and says, well, born again, what? Can a guy be born once he's old? Am I going to have to be shoved back up the birth canal and let my mother try it again? She might not like that. You know, what are you talking about here? And Jesus said, well, you know, the wind blows where it wants to. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going to. You can tell it by the sound. That's the way the wind is. That's the way God's Spirit is, as Andrea said. The Spirit, God's Spirit can blow where it wants to, and it can affect the people in ways that the Spirit wants to. So he's saying to Nicodemus, maybe you don't have everything nailed down. Maybe God can do things that you thought he couldn't. Maybe God can have mercy and grace and inclusiveness on people that you thought he shouldn't. Maybe you ought to loosen that up a little bit and see what God's Spirit does. Oh, well, how can that stuff be? And Jesus is like, you're a teacher of Israel. You don't know this stuff? Come on, God's Spirit. Remember? And then he went on, and we have John 3:16, famous passage. He tells Nicodemus the gospel in a nutshell and warns him, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. That's not God's purpose here, just to stand with a big stick and go, ah, you messed up. He came so that the world through him might be saved. And those who don't accept it, well, they're already headed their own way anyway. That's up to them. Nicodemus is a guy that was comfortable with the construct in his mind that he had of God, the box. All he had was the box. And if he lost the box, who would he be? Just another old guy. So it was hard for him to do that. And we can cluck our tongues at Nicodemus and we can say, well, gee, you should have known better. He was a teacher of the law. But look at it this way. Nicodemus was a religious guy. He went to synagogue. He went to temple. He studied scripture. He talked about the Lord God. Nicodemus was a religious guy. And lest we get too down on him, who are we? I mean, we're here, right? We're in church. We're doing religious stuff. We're doing worship. It's kind of us. And I think the Lord is saying to us, do you have a construct in your mind that is so case-hardened that it doesn't allow for the freewheeling action of God's Spirit to come in? Where are you at in allowing God's Spirit to come to you? How open are you? Are the doors and windows open, which I wish they were today, in your spirit that the Lord God can come in there? So there's good religion and there's bad religion. There's a lot of it floating around out there. But today, I want to remind us of the good religion. That's what we want to have. God's Spirit working in us to help us stand up for things we should stand up to help us do things that are dangerous, maybe, even if not unpopular. God's Spirit, we want that good religion. I want the religion of Moses when he stood up to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." I want the religion of Moses' successor, Joshua, who stood at the edge of the promised land instead and said, "Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I want the good religion of King David, who faced the giant of his time, just like we have giants that we have to face today. That David faced the giant Goliath and said, "Who is this that defies the army of the living God? I'll fight him." I want the religion that's good of Esther in the Old Testament, who said, "If I die, I die, but I am going to see the king." I want the good religion of Martin Luther, who stood before the diet at Worms and said, "Hier stehe ich, ich kann nicht anders." Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. I want the good religion of his namesake, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." And I especially want the good religion of Jesus the Christ, who was always going like this, was always more inclusive and not exclusive with people, always accepting and taking people in and saying, "You're part of my crowd. You're a child of God and an heir of eternal life." I want that good religion. Holy Trinity Sunday reminds us that God, the Creator, made us for his purpose, that Jesus redeemed us for eternal life, and that the Holy Spirit keeps working on us, maturing us, and sanctifying us. Give me that good religion. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.